People should come. If they should come early and soak, or if they're going someplace else, they would say, hey, you know, they have worship 8:45 to 9:30 at Great Commission Church. Let's go by and get it. I know worship junkies to just do that. They go anywhere there's worship and just soak it up. Amen? I'd like to welcome my brother David here, a man of God that I met at the rescue mission. He has his own ministry. He's been called, and he goes out, and I'm just blessed to have his presence here today. Thank you, David. So you get a chance to talk to him. Talk to him after the service. What I'm going to talk about today is called the call, and in our building kingdom culture, I think it does with character. It does with character. It was my experience in character. And last Monday morning, I spoke last Sunday, last Monday morning, early in the morning, I'm having this dream, and in this dream, these people are coming up to me, and they're telling me that of just how they've been victimized by other people and by the world. And they're just talking about this and talking about it. And I'm telling them, I says, you got to read Psalms 10. You got to read Psalms 10. And then some other people came up and said, you know, I used to victimize people. I was victimized. I've been victimizing people, and I've been taking advantage of people. I don't know what to do. And I'm saying, read Psalms 10. Read Psalms 10. So I'm waking. So then I wake up, and it's fresh in my mind. And I said, Psalms 10, what's that? I couldn't remember what Psalms 10 was about. So I went and opened up my Bible. And in the top of it, it says, a song of confidence in God's triumph over evil. David's song. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but I'm going to just give you a bit of what David is calling out to the Lord. He's calling out to him and says, why do you stand afar? Why do you stand far off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. His ways are always prospering. Your judgments are far above out of his sight. As for his enemies, he sneers at them. The people are so proud, they don't care about what the Lord has. Their confidence is in themselves. And in verse 12, actually in verse 11, he has said, God is forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see. It reminds me of part of my testimony before I met, I came back to Jesus. In 12, David cries out, arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the humble. Why do the wicked renounce God? He has said in his heart, you will not require an account. You observe trouble and grief to repay it by your hand. The helpless commits himself to you. You are the father of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness until you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations have perished out of his land. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed. And the man of the earth may oppress no more. Well, if I was a person who's been victimized by the world and sees myself as a victim, I could read this as an encouragement that my lot is going to get better, that God is going to call, step out. This is a prophetic prayer. And at the same time, if I'm a person who's convicted of the fact that I've been taking advantage of other people by the gifts that I have or by my money or my power, it's a warning to me. It warns me that God is in control. I don't want him to break my arm. But I tell you what, this happened to me. I have to tell you, this happened to me that a time in my life where I lost my character. And I'll talk more about that as we turn to Acts 5. I want you to go to Acts 5. In Acts 5, it tells the story of Ananias and Sapphira. I think we know this about lying to the Holy Spirit. And let me read what happened here in verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. And that was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me, whether you sold the land for so much? And she said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. Well, I have to tell you, I'm not going to go into detail, but in my foolishness, in my life, when I was part of that people in Psalm 10 that just thought I could do no wrong, and I was so confident in myself that I lied on the Holy Spirit, and I died. I died, my character died. The character that I was died. I lost my confidence little by little. I just lost my timing. I couldn't tell jokes like I used to. I wasn't funny. People started seeing me differently. People that had respected me started losing respect for me. It's just like I slowly eroded, I slowly died little by little until the time that I came that I had an opportunity to meet Jesus Christ where I was humble enough I had to cry out. And I don't think I've ever regained that. I don't think I'm that character ever. I'm not as confident as I was. I mean, I thought I could do anything, and it seemed like I could do everything. Now it seems like I can't do anything. I'm always worried about, am I going to do this right, or how's this going to go? So God has rebuilt my character in a character that he wants, which is different than I had before. And sometimes I think about that. I wish I was sort of like that. And I remember one time I was saying, Lord, you should have got me before. And he told me, I didn't want you the way you were then. I want you the way you are now. Humble, broken. So I can put you together the way that I want. But you know, the verse 11, so great fear came upon all those in the church and upon all who heard these things. And then it goes on. But I think that fear was really great. I think it really spread like wildfire that this couple lied to God and died. I think that people, I think it got the attention of the church. I think that possibly that new pastors are probably saying, if you don't tithe, you'll be like Ananias and Sapphira. If you don't come to the Bible study, you're going to be like Ananias and Sapphira. Playing that spirit, that card of fear to keep you in line. And it looks like God used that. But I think that they might have had a difficult time interpreting what happened. Why were they struck dead? Was it because they didn't do something against man? No, it was against God. They lied to the Holy Spirit. So it begs the question for the scholars of the time and for us that the Lord wants us to be honest with him. He wants total honesty with us because he has more answers than we have questions, and he's just begging us to ask him questions. And what causes me to ask questions is when I can't measure up or I can't be who I think I should be. It gives me an opportunity to ask him a question. And usually the answer just sort of guides me back. I'm not as bad as I thought I was. And he just tells me you're on the right course. So I got to get my notes here. But amazingly, after this happens, it's just things explode. Probably for over the years, this is what happens. I just wrote these down in chapter 5 through chapter 9. As signs and wonders by the apostles for the Jews. The Jews are just having all these signs and wonders. Things are happening. The apostles are doing it. The apostles are getting arrested and beaten and then released. Or they get beaten and then they're allowed to let go. Angels that let them escape. They finally, I think the hierarchy finally says, hey, if they're against God, if they're not with God, they're going to fold anyway. But if they're with God, how can we fight them? If God is with us, who can oppose us? Nobody. Because God is with us and God was with them. Stephen was called and he was martyred. He gave that wonderful speech to the Sanhedrin. Then he was stoned and Saul is persecuting the church, going around arresting Christians. Christ is preached in Samaria, a place that was like the untouchables live there. Simon the magician is attracted to the power of God. And I like that. Simon the magician, and it talks about it in chapter 8, if you want to read about it. But he's a man who's famous for all the miracles that he can do and stuff. And he sees what's going on in Christianity. He becomes a Christian. And then he sees the apostles laying hands on people and them getting the Holy Spirit. And he says, hey, I got a lot of money here. I'll give you $100 if you show me how to do that. And he did it to the wrong man. And Peter said, just rebuked him. He says, you can't buy this. And this starts telling him about it, just how bad he is. And these things are going to happen to him. And I think the fear of Ananias and Sapphira, he heard about that because he said, pray to your Lord. Pray to your Lord this doesn't happen to me. These things don't happen to me. I don't want to die. I don't want these things to happen to me. Have I crossed the line? Have I? We don't know what happened to him. He's continued to live. I think Peter probably prayed for him, and he found that he was able to avoid punishment. And Philip and the Ethiopian, Philip baptizes the Ethiopian, and Saul is converted. He comes back to the Lord, and the church prospers among the Jews. And then in chapter 10, the call of the Gentile and the apostle. So put chapter 10 up there. What happens here, that Peter's traveling, he gets to Joppa. Oh, even at the same time he's traveling to Joppa, God has a plan. Because he's heard the prayers of this man, who's an officer in the Roman army. And let me turn there. I'm the kind of guy that, since I start bringing this thing, I need a bigger rostrum. I need a stool or something. So it says, it was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household and gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Thank you, sir. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among these who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to him, he sent them to Joppa. So it says the next day they went on their journey. And then in verse 9, it says Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry. And he wanted to eat. But while they've made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open up and an object like a great sheet bound at four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds in the air. And a voice came to him and said, but Peter said, what? Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again the second time.
Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.
I think now Peter's thinking, now this has got to be a trick. I remember I was there when Ananias and Sapphira died. Maybe this is from Satan. He said again, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him.
Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.
No. That can't, Lord, but it sounds like Jesus. I remember what he sounded like. I remember his voice. That sounds like the voice of Jesus. But it's a trick because I know that as soon as I eat that pork chop, I'm going to die. I'm going to fall over dead. So he said one more time, he said, Lord, I think he'd said it in a boasting voice at the beginning because he was saying, I have never, ever, I've never done that. I've never eaten anything unclean. Who do you think? No, I've always been right on. I've always kept all the rules, and especially that one, because I don't like pork anyway. So I don't like the smell of it. So he said one more time, he said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again.
Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.
Oh, wow. Three times I've heard this. This is Peter saying three times. I got to pray about this one. I don't know what to do. I don't know. And then it says, as he's thinking about it, these men approach. And they come up and he looks at them. And there are men. There's a soldier there and a couple of big guys. And he's thinking, what do they want with me? Are they going to arrest me? Is this? I don't know. It could be from the Sanhedrin or something. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter, I think he's a little relieved now, he says, then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a Holy Spirit to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. I think Peter could have been knocked over. These guys are Gentiles, and they're inviting me to come to their house, and God is telling me to go with him. I think there's something going on within his brain and within his body. I think he's getting close to sweating blood. The fear of God, of disappointing God, the fear of the traditions. And all of a sudden he's feeling a change is going on. But he invites them into his house. And it says he came in with them, and on the next day they all left for Joppa. Well, I'm going to turn to chapter 11 now because, as you know, I'm a brethren of the testimony, and I believe that we all should have a testimony. And what we're going to hear is Peter's testimony about what happened on this journey. So this is after he's gone, he's made the trip, he's back in Jerusalem in chapter 11. And it says, the apostles and the brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision, those are the fault-finding Judaizers, the prejudiced ones. They contended with him, saying, David, I want you to say this really loud. Thank you.
Thou wentest into men uncircumcised, and did eat with them.
No, say it in a, come on. You're a prejudiced guy. You're saying, what's going on here? You're accusing me. Say it. Amen. That's the kind of voice he heard. And he's in fear and trembling again. But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning to the end. And he's saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying and in a trance. And I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners. And it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me,
"Get up, Peter, kill and eat."
But I said, "Not so, Lord, for nothing common or uncommon as any time has ever entered my mouth." But the voice answered me again from heaven,
"Do not call anything impure that God has made clean."
Now this was done three times, and all were drawn up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, "Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and your household will be saved." And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord and how he had said, "John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus, who was I that could withstand God? When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life." He's granted them repentance to life. He's given them the gift of repentance to life. And when God gives a gift, he doesn't take it back. He gave them the gift of repentance to life. And you know what's funny? In some of the there's twofold here what I'm doing. First of all, I'm having men speak out and speak. I like this because we're looking for a church with a conversation. Irene put these microphones out. We want people to get up and prophesy. We got worship here. Not to say, "Well, I don't want to say that." No, we're going to start saying that. Whenever I talk, I'm going to be ready. I want to hear the voices. I like conversation. That's what the Lord wants. He wants a conversation with us. He wants us to speak out. This is a church. We're saying freedom here. Freedom to sit quietly and ponder and listen to the Lord, or freedom to get up and dance. Freedom to laugh or sing, whatever it is. I mean, it's just another evidence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When that young man ran up here, what's your name? Yeah, Elliot ran up here, put his arms out to yell hallelujah. That was Holy Spirit filled. God was on that young man. He came up here just boldly, and we all laughed. That was God acting. This is a house of God. This is what he's calling us to do, to be free, because we all love each other. That's one thing I've discovered at the time that I've been to Great Commission Church. There's love here. We love here. I mean, Scott's ready to drive somebody to the airport. I mean, during commute time. Now that is love. Because I've done it myself. It's a hard $20 to earn. That long journey. I had a buddy of mine that does that. But it's the freedom there. But what I have found and what I'm finding, what the Lord is showing me, there's so many of us Christians that still have that fear of Ananias and Sapphira. That if we don't do the right thing or we don't say the right thing, then we're going to die, or God's not going to like us. We're going to find ourselves being short. But that's not the case. The Lord has given us the gift of repentance to life. It's ours. He's saying, be free. Be natural. Be who you are. And find out how much alike that you are. And that as we do this, it's the light that's going to attract the lost. Because the lost are... the lost are coming to a point. I don't know how many years ago, but I was in a big prayer group, and we're praying and praying and praying, and all at once I saw this scene from The Godfather. Have you seen the movie The Godfather? On that one day, the head of the five families, bam, bam, they were all taken out. One day, the family, the Corleone family that was seemed defeated, they became the victors. And the Lord, and I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, the heads of the nine families are going to be taken out. The heads of the nine families. And all of a sudden I realized there's nine Bay Area counties. 9 Bay Area counties, and the Lord is at one time is going to take out the strong man on all of them. And what I saw, people that were once very bold and very cool and very confident in their power and who they thought they were, I saw them cowering because that spirit that had fed them and lied to them and got them up had left, had no power. And I saw them, they were just like in fear, didn't know what to do. They were like shaking in fear, like their eyes were open to what heaven was. And then I saw these little lights. It's like I saw a giant cross being driven into the top of the mountain over there, and it was like dust, ashes that had been covering, had just fallen. I saw these little lights around the Bay Area, Marin County, all these little lights, and they were churches, little groups of Christians praying together. And these little lights were going to draw all of the people who were lost and in fear. And that's the Lord's timing, how he's going to do it. That's been a long time ago. I thought it was going to happen, but it hasn't happened yet, but I know what's going to happen. So I think the purpose of what the Lord wants me to do today is we're all going to stand up. And we're going to pray against the fear of wrath of God about tradition. And I'm going to read the same words that Peter spoke at Cornelius' house, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. So just close your eyes and receive. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed through all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism in which John preached, how God anointed Jesus in Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with the power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. God raised him up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins." And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. So I just say, Holy Spirit, come now. Come now. Fall upon your witnesses, Father. Give us revelation of who you are and who we are in you, that we are indeed free men and women. We are indeed free to praise you. We're indeed free to give testimony of what you've done in our lives. We are free to be embraced by you and the gift of repentance you've given us, Lord. And I really believe the Lord is raising up now the prophets, the spirit of prophecy upon you. Just receive this. The spirit of prophecy that you will be able to encourage and edify and support your brothers and sisters. You'll be honestly speaking from the heart of what you know and what God has done in you. You will be able to encourage and edify and support the others. You'll be able to speak life into the body. You'll be able to speak life into the body of those people outside of the church, your co-workers, your friends, your neighbors. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So just receive. Marcia and I are just going to walk around and touch you as evidence of who Jesus is. God is in the house, and he says, now go out and love each other and encourage each other and bless each other. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen. Amen.
Well, I have a short announcement. Christina and CJ.